Media radio station and on the app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. We begin with those unexplained drones flying in the sky above the East Coast. CBS's Tom Hansen is in Ocean County, New Jersey, with Sheriff Michael Mastronardi.
We went along with their drone unit as they conducted their investigation.
If they didn't put their lights on, they would be looking, right?
Right.
And they're putting their lights so they want you to see.
Their tactical drones easily outmaneuvered by the mysterious objects in the sky.
That drone sped away at reportedly 60 miles an hour. Our drones only go 40.
New Jersey's governor has asked the Biden administration to put more resources into the ongoing investigation of those mysterious drones. President-elect Trump weighing in as well in a post on Truth Social. He wrote to the federal government, "Let the public know and now." Otherwise, he called for the drones to be shot down. A major cyber attack in Rhode Island.
Governor Dan McKee.
As part of this investigation, today we discovered that within the Rhode Island Bridges system, a cyber criminal had installed dangerous malware that constituted an urgent threat.
Compromised is the private data of hundreds of thousands of people who have applied or received health insurance or other social services over the last 8 years. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Our Michael Toscano reports on the latest on the push to ban TikTok.
A federal appeals court left in place a law set to go into effect January 19. It requires TikTok's China-based owner ByteDance to sell TikTok in the U.S. or have it banned here. TikTok is expected to appeal to the Supreme Court, but if that doesn't work, it may look to President-elect Trump, who promised to save TikTok during the campaign.
A New York doctor is being sued for violating a Texas law on abortion.
The Texas lawsuit claims Dr. Maggie Carpenter of New Paltz, New York, violated Texas law by providing abortion-inducing drugs to a Texas woman through telehealth. The lawsuit claims she ended up in a hospital with severe bleeding. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton saying this is why out-of-state doctors may not illegally and dangerously prescribe abortion-inducing drugs to Texans. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell blasting Robert F. Kennedy Jr. yesterday after the New York Times reported the Health and Human Services nominee is pushing to revoke the polio vaccine. McConnell is a childhood polio survivor and said in a statement, "Anyone seeking the Senate's consent to serve in the incoming administration would do well to steer clear of even the appearance of association with such efforts," which he said tried to undermine public confidence in proven cures like the vaccine. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather. I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of snow and a high near 30. Southeast winds up to 25 miles per hour. Still breezy tonight. Temperatures will be around 32 degrees. Chance of snow and then rain. For Sunday, cloudy 39. Monday, chance of rain and snow 38.
It's 21 right now.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camel wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay. PROFHearingCare.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, winter fun in Florence County and deer hunting reports from Wisconsin and Minnesota. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Huppy and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Huppy and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit huppy.com. And all 11 offices of Huppy and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Jeff Kelm joins me from his home in Wisconsin Rapids again. Well, Jeff, what have you been up to?
I wish I could tell you, Dan, it's been hunting and fishing, but it's not. It's been doing stairs, custom stairways. It's been doing flooring. It's not as fun as sitting in a deer stand. It's cold.
No, well, but you picked the right weather to do that kind of work.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's stuff that needs to get done, and sitting in a deer stand in -7, not as much fun.
No, especially with that nasty wind that we've had. Well, what about this weekend? The weather is moderating.
Yeah, we actually may get a chance to sit for an antlerless hunt. Robert used the 3030, my 3030, my parents gifted to me back when I was 12 years old. He used that to down his deer the second week of the gun season. And I noticed there was a couple of things I could do to it to make it a little bit more youth friendly. So I did those. And so it's nice and set for him. And he suggested that Sunday, our warmer day, where he's opening, we can go out and sit in the afternoon.
Oh, cool. And he likes that rifle.
He does. He really does. He loves the action of it, which, I mean, who doesn't love a good lever action?
Yeah.
And it's comfortable for him. You know, it is a bit smaller gun. So
that's,
I think,
true.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I've honestly never hunted with one, but they are very attractive. And of course, it's the classic Western gun and the classic gun for North Woods deer hunting, and probably deer hunting all over the place until modern, bolt actions came along.
Yeah, I can only imagine how many deer a 30-30 has taken.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, for sure. Well, I did a little turkey hunting last weekend on a friend's farm in Fond du Lac County. Saw 8 deer, of course, when I'm not deer hunting, and 6 toms that were across a road, a rural road, of course, in some pines. It was a windy day, cold day, but I was in a heated blind, which I don't typically like, but boy, when the weather's like the way it's been, it's very comfortable with the heater going and propane heater going and everything. And those toms pecked around in a plowed field for, I don't know, a half hour or so, and then they went back up and stood in the pines. They were probably 500 yards away. I could see them clearly with my binoculars, but they weren't coming over, and I couldn't go over there anyway because it was posted and it was across the road. So I may try that again this Sunday too. So with the weather moderating, I hope to get out. No, we'll see. Well, coming up, folks, Huntworth Gear Pro staffer Bernie Barringer reports on his deer hunts in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and the DNR deer program specialist for Wisconsin, Jeff Pritzel, sums up the gun deer season, and Eric Prince, director of economic development for Florence County, invites us up to enjoy snowmobiling, snowshoeing, skiing, ice fishing, and more in Florence County this winter. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
The Wisconsin Ice Fishing Expo has moved to the EAA grounds in Oshkosh December 13th through the 15th. Nearly twice the size as last year, with super convenient parking with free shuttles. Deals on shacks, lures, gear, electronics, expert seminars from Larry Smith, Tom Boley, and many others. Trout Pond and Ice Junkies Kids Zone. Food trucks, free giveaways, and visit Santa on Sunday. Kids 12 and under free. Go to icefishexpo.com for info. Sponsored by Wisconsin Outdoor News, Ion, Eskimo, Ice Team, Acme, and Thorn Brothers.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Florence County, Wisconsin invites you to explore thousands of acres of county, state, and national forest lands, plus wild rivers, ATV, UTV trails, and much more. You can find out what's going on in Florence County and some of the opportunities for recreation there at exploreflorencecounty.com. And joining us now for our monthly chat is the Director of Florence County Economic Development, Eric Prince. Eric, thanks for joining us and welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Thanks, Dan. Always good to talk to you.
It's always fun to catch up with you, and you are kind of my boots on the ground, my voice in the Northeast woods there. You had an event last weekend, I think it was, called Christmas in Florence. How did that go?
Yeah, Christmas in Florence is a very big event for Florence. It happens at the high school. We have just about 100 vendors, different types of crafts and wares that they sell, and it went really well. I think the numbers were a little bit down this year because we found out there were a couple of other events in the area, but it still went very well. Vendors have already been in touch with me about how they want to come back next year. The other thing that happened is we actually had a number of the local businesses that were involved, and some of them did very well and others not so much, but they had discounts on product, or maybe they had an activity or a specialty drink or food or whatever. So I would just say, at this point, I'd say thanks to the sponsors, thanks to the Florence Chamber of Commerce, all the volunteers, of course the vendors, but especially all the people that came out to shop with us and support us here locally. And then the businesses were Michaela May's Bakery, Tavern on Central, Castaway Bait Shop, the Filling Station, Angie's Creations, and then, of course, the Wild Rivers Gift Shop at the Interpretive Center, where, you know, Wendy Gelhoff is up there, and they had a great day. So overall, it was a really nice day in Florence. The weather was okay, and you know, travel was okay. So we look forward to getting ready for next year.
All right. Well, speaking of weather, there hasn't been much snow anywhere in Wisconsin yet, and we are recording this in the middle of the week. The forecast says you might be getting some snow soon. Do you have any on the ground there right now?
We do. As we're speaking, it's spitting a little bit right now and a little bit windy. During the week here, it's supposed to get down into those negative numbers overnight. It allows us to blow snow up at the ski hill. I checked it this morning, but it looks like we're going to have 4 days where we get 2 or 3 inches each day. I'm hopeful that, you know, Mother Nature works with us this year and we're able to get those snowmobile trails open. And, of course, the goal is to get the ski hill open before the Christmas break, because the kids around the county love to get up there and snowboard and ski and tube. Lots to do up here, but we need to have the white stuff.
Yeah, now they do make snow at Kai's Peak, don't they?
Yeah, they did for about a week last week, and then we had to shut down the guns for a couple of days because of the warm weather and a little bit of rain, but they did put quite a base up there. But as of midweek this past week, the guns are running. The crew is up there overnight running those things 24/7 if they can. The temperature is, it has to be below 26. When you get up into that 30-degree mark, it's harder.
Yeah, for sure. You have some fabulous trails there, and when you get your snow, they are groomed for snowmobiling, aren't they?
Absolutely. We have over 180 miles of snowmobile trails, and we have a variety of other trails, too. There's a lot of snowshoeing here. We have equestrian, and there's cross-country skiing. So there's a variety of ways that you can really get out and enjoy the snow and the beauty that we have up here.
How about the waterfalls in winter? Do they get icicles, and are they accessible, or some of them anyway?
Yeah, some of them are, and there's one or two that I don't know that I make the trek in there, but there are a couple that are a little bit easier to get into, and as far as when they ice up or you see icicles or the white stuff, there's some very picturesque waterfalls up here that you can enjoy. You can hike into them, and you can absolutely get in and enjoy them.
I would imagine people are going to be ice fishing soon, too.
Yep. It was a little disappointing because, like I've told you, I live on one of the lakes up here. And
yeah.
All of a sudden, we had all this ice, and then in came that warm weather and the rain, and it wasn't pretty. But the cold weather's here. We're going to get the ice over the next couple of weeks. I don't know if the Northern Lights is doing theirs this year. The 101, they do one. The Camo does fishing derby. There's another one down in Long Lake. We have four or five of them that run in January and February. So I'm hopeful that those will be happening. You know, some of them raise money for a variety of good. And you can always just get out there just because you want to have some fun. So go visit them over at Castaway Bait Shop. They have all sorts of, not only bait, but augers and sleds and all sorts of stuff for your ice fishing needs.
For sure. Now, will you be ice fishing on your lake once the ice is safe?
I will. We moved into the house about a year and a half ago, and I went for the first time last year. And it was a little bit later in the year, but went out with a buddy of mine, caught a bunch of northern and a couple of big bass. I'm still trying to catch that elusive walleye that we supposedly have, but yeah. I'm going to get out there quite a bit more this year.
Great. And you post on travelwisconsin.com as well as your Florence County YouTube channel, don't you?
Yep. There's a variety of social media that we use. Wendy actually helps me with the Travel Wisconsin stuff because she's at the visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
Between the two of us, we get all the events on exploreflorencecounty.com, the website, and we also do our Facebook page, and we have the YouTube channel. So I'll probably be doing more video with the YouTube channel when it comes to getting outdoors this winter. I didn't do a whole lot of it last year because I really just brought it back to life at the beginning of the year. But, we will be using more and more social media as we go forward.
Well, that's great. And I noticed that your website, exploreflorencecounty.com, has some winter activity photos already, ice fishing and snowmobiling and snowshoeing, you know, folks enjoying the great trails and the great woods and outdoors you have there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to be one of those people doing a little bit more of it this year. We just hope that Mother Nature works with us and we have some white stuff for a couple of months here.
All right. Well, Eric, we're going to let you go, but we will try to talk to you before the first of the year because I know
Sure. Once
winter really sets in, you've got a bunch of events in January and February that you'd like to talk about.
Yeah, we do. You always have that lull. Everybody's taking some time off for family and the holidays and such, but once we hit January, Camo has an event. We're bringing back the Chili Skiing. I think it's going to get renamed. There's a predator hunt at Roadhouse 139 down in Long Lake. They also have a fishing derby down there. Then we have a big kids' day up at Kai's Peak. There's a big ski party. And then the canine unit, they have a big booyah event that happens as well. So there's quite a few things that are happening. As soon as I get the dates nailed down, they'll get out on the website and on the Facebook page. And, of course, anybody can always call me or email me, and I'm more than happy to share any of the events that are coming up.
Very good. Well, Eric, I want to wish you and everyone there in Florence County a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we will talk to you again in a few weeks.
Enjoy the holidays. Good talking to you, Dan.
Thank you. Eric Prince, Director of Florence County Economic Development, with a report on what's going on there, and we invite you to check out exploreflorencecounty.com for more information. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Joining me now is Jeff Pritzel. He is the Department of Natural Resources Deer Program Specialist for Wisconsin, and he's been pretty busy this fall. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dan, good to hear from you and happy to be on.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you, and let's start with the preliminary total of deer taken during the gun season. And I say preliminary because there's still the 4-day antlerless and the holiday hunt. All those totals need to be added in too, don't they?
Yeah, so it'll be the end of January before all the dust settles and we know exactly what the statewide harvest was collectively through all the seasons. But we've got the numbers in for the 9-day gun season, which is still the biggest single contribution and gets the most attention.
Okay, what are the numbers there?
I mean, the gun season, and it's always the case with the state, most times we try to talk about two stories, the forest zones versus the farmland zones, but this year I think there's actually three different stories that kind of played out and get into it in a little bit, but if we just look at the statewide numbers, the gun kill was up from last year a little bit, but that's really only because we experienced a rather down gun kill in 23, and so when you say it's relative to the last year, but, you know, we're closer to the 5-year average, and given the lateness of the gun season, that's, I think, about as good as we could have expected for statewide numbers. But the reason that it's up from last year is that we saw a pretty strong harvest in the central farmland zone and the central forest zone, that central farmland being the biggest generator of our harvest numbers to begin with. And so when things go well in the central farm, you know, that kind of influences the statewide numbers. But things weren't quite as rosy in the northern forest and the southern farmland, but probably for different reasons. But so they were near or even a little bit behind last year. But overall, we saw an in-season harvest that was about as good as we could have hoped for.
Okay, and for people who like numbers, the total for all of the gun season for all the zones was just under 190,000 or thereabouts?
Season, we tend to get about 300,000 deer or more, and we'll break 300,000 when everything is said and done this year, but about 200,000 of that happens through firearm harvest and 100,000 through archery harvest, and so we're at just shy of that 200,000 mark, but as you said, once we add in the antlerless seasons and the muzzleloader season, we'll be over 200,000 for gun harvest this year.
What trends do you perceive in these totals looking back 4 or 5 years?
In different parts of the state, it is playing out a little bit differently. Let's start from the south and work north, because the southern farmland collectively has been trending downward in harvest. And that could be a couple of influencers there, but we cannot ignore the fact that chronic wasting disease probably has more of an influence both on deer numbers and on hunter behavior and harvest patterns in the southern farmland. And so we're probably seeing some influence there, as well as just changing landscapes and the perennial challenge in the south of access to the deer. You know, there's a lot of people that would not argue that there's plenty of and not too many deer in the south, but getting access to those deer is challenging. But it's really a hodgepodge county by county. And this year, during the gun season, we saw up in kind of in the eastern area, like Dodge County and Washington County, Fond du Lac, a little south of there, they had a pretty strong gun season. But as you moved west and you moved into that more long-term area that's been influenced by chronic wasting disease, you see the harvest faded over there. That's a pattern we've seen throughout the archery season before the gun season as well. So that's been a trend in the south. We still think there's a need there for stronger antlerless harvests, but it's just been hard to realize. Whereas in a central farm, you know, this year we saw a rebound in the antlerless harvest, which kind of fell off last year, and a better buck harvest as well. The central forest and the central farm has been steadier over the past 5 to 10 years. And then when we get to the northern forest, of course, we've seen this long-term downward trend, you know, as we reflect back to the way things were 20 years ago up north. But really, it's been quite stable over the past decade. Just not stable where I think a lot of people desire or wish that it would be. But other than the annual ups and downs and the roller coaster effect of the winter and things up north, it's been relatively stable. What was really fascinating this year in looking at the gun harvest, which again came in down, like last year, and down just a little bit, our archery harvest up north this year was trending much, much better than the previous year. We had rebounded in archery harvest trends to where we were prior to that off year last year, but that did not carry through in the gun seasons. It tells us that the harvest is becoming more conditional and really less predictable. It's interesting to tease in and look at what's going on in the local areas. And when all these numbers are finished up, we will be meeting with our county deer advisory councils in the spring to sort it all out and make recommendations for next year.
Yeah, and one of those recommendations might have to do with changes in the deer management units in the north, right?
Yeah, there's been a process now that we've been talking about it and hearing about it and getting requests about it for a couple of years now. We've initiated a more formal deer management unit review and have been conducting that with input and talking to the county deer advisory councils and several different public engagement processes that will culminate in January and February with hopefully some changes to deer management units. And if we can, if it all falls together in time, the northern forest and to a degree the central forest counties will be looking at different deer management units to put into play for next fall.
Okay, now you mentioned CWD earlier. Are hunters paying as much attention to CWD as they had in past years? And CWD monitoring, is that still where you would like it to be?
Yeah, I think that has kind of stabilized recently. As the case with other things, you get a certain cohort of the population that buys in and is connected. And we see in general, and this isn't just specific to deer hunting, but people that are interested in citizen science and collecting and contributing data to help support decision making, that plays out in CWD sampling. And so we tend to get about a 10% of the deer hunters that are involved and want to, whether it's for their own personal information and their venison consumption information, or they just want to contribute to the database, we get about 10% of the hunters, successful hunters, contributing. And so that tends to generate shy of 20,000 samples a year. And we're kind of on a similar pace this year. We've got kind of a steady inflow of samples, and it kind of fits well with what our capacity is right now. And there's certain parts of the state we'd like to have a little bit more data collection, and we kind of share that through our CWD website. We're on the leading edge of where we see the disease expanding north in the state. But, yeah, it's pretty much the same as it has the last couple of years.
Okay. And another question for you. You mentioned the archery total, generally around a third of the total, about half of what the gun total is. Let's break that down into crossbow versus vertical bow. A number of years ago, and I don't remember when that was, the crossbow total surpassed the vertical bow total, and that is just continuing, isn't it?
Maybe 4 years ago that crossbow harvest surpassed the vertical bow harvest. But now since then, it's really kind of stabilized. The last 3 years, we've seen a more stable proportion of vertical bow versus crossbow, and also the portion of total buck harvest attributed to archery equipment versus the firearm. But that had been shifting towards archery really for the past 30 years. And that, too, has kind of flattened out and it's stabilized the last couple of years. So I don't know if that's going to continue to be stable. We haven't looked at that yet this year. but it is interesting to see that seems to be leveling out.
Okay. Is there anything else that jumps out at you from the numbers you've seen so far or from reports you've heard from other staff or from hunters?
I think the thing that jumped out to me was this year how hunters and staff are becoming more appreciative of and aware of deer movement and how deer movement changes, especially daylight deer movement, and the real advent and onset of trail cameras, and especially now the cellular trail cameras. A lot of experiences where people are saying, yeah, I didn't see any deer during daylight hours, but they're on the cameras, you know, afterwards. And so it helps put in perspective where, yeah, there's deer in the landscape, they're just not making themselves available to us. And a lot of our firearm deer hunting strategy now pretty much mimics our archery hunting strategy, where we tend to stay put, pick what we hope is a good spot, and hope to have the deer come to us. And if the deer aren't moving naturally, we're just not going to see them, and we don't have the gun hunting traditions and strategies. It's still there, but not at the level it was, where the hunters were on the move with the intention of getting the deer moving. So we just, you know, it's, you know, daylight deer sightings, especially late in November, you know, are dependent on deer wanting to move during daylight, and that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, that's true. I know I've had conversations with numerous hunters who've said, oh, we don't see deer, or we don't see deer like we used to. And, you know, when you bring up that point of, well, we're all sitting in one place and the deer are bedded in another place and nobody's moving them around, people don't seem motivated to do drives or even to still hunt. You know, I knew hunters years ago who would take a day to cross a section up north and they would get a deer if they crossed a track and spent some time following it. I don't know many hunters who do that now.
They're still out there, and I do talk to some of them, and they just have a little smile on their face sometimes where they're like, yeah, I know other people think that the opportunities aren't what they used to be, but they're also not, you know, going about it the way they used to either. And there's many factors that influence what we see and what the harvest experience is. And it's been changing over time. And that's part of the nature of what hunting is over time, is adapting to changing conditions and embracing that challenge. And sometimes, heck, I'm guilty of sticking with what's worked in the past and then suffering for it because it's not working today.
Yep, I've done it too. I have a favorite stand, and that's where I go, at least for a couple days.
Right.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for your input and for another look at these numbers. Folks can go to the DNR website and look at the entire state harvest as it is updated, as new kills are reported. The Wisconsin Outdoor newspaper has a story on that by Kevin Nazi as well. So there are a lot of resources out there where people can get more information, aren't there?
Yeah, we try to make that stuff available. Part of it is for actual resource management decision making, but we also know people are just, as enthusiasts for hunting, you know, they like to look at statistics the same way we like to look at our statistics for the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks, and it's just part of embracing the enthusiasm of the event. And so some of it's for science and some of it's just for embracing the enjoyment and enthusiasm of the event.
And for the barstool biologists to have something to chew on, right?
Right. We have our own version of Monday morning quarterbacking, and that comes along with people feeling strongly about it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jeff, thanks so much, and I want to wish you and everyone on your staff and folks you work with a Merry Christmas, and we look forward to another great deer season next year.
Yeah, thanks, Dan, and yeah, have great winter adventures, and we'll talk again.
All right. Jeff Pritzel, the DNR Deer Program Specialist. As we mentioned, you can learn more on the DNR website. Just go to dnr.wi.gov and just type in deer or deer harvest, and you'll get all the information you want. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with professional hearing care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp, telling stories, and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to prohearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Officials in several states are demanding answers about mysterious drones. And CBS's Bradley Blackburn tells us what the president-elect is saying.
On social media, President-elect Trump weighed in, writing, "Can this really be happening without our government's knowledge? I don't think so. Let the public know and now. Otherwise, shoot them down."
The online portal used by Rhode Island state government has been breached. Governor Dan McKee.
As part of this investigation, we discovered that within the Rhode Island Bridges system, a cyber criminal had installed dangerous malware that constituted an urgent threat.
Texas is suing a New York State doctor for prescribing and mailing abortion pills to a Dallas woman. Reporter Chris Fox says it's a violation of state law.
New York has a shield law that protects providers from out-of-state investigations and prosecutions. Texas is seeking up to $250,000.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
The Badgers.
Fades Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, chance of snow and a high near 30. Southeast winds up to 25 miles per hour. Still breezy tonight. Temperatures will be around 32 degrees. Chance of snow and then rain. For Sunday, cloudy 39. Monday, chance of rain and snow 38.
It's 21 right now.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 AM and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Guess what, Mrs. C?
What, Santa?
We are ready. The Santa room is finally open. Oh, boy, the Santa Claus has really set it up nice this year. What do you think, Mrs. C?
Oh, it's so warm and cozy and welcoming.
What do you think, Mr. Jangles?
It's better than your old room.
All the kids and the families can come now and they can take free pictures with Santa.
Bring your own camera, cell phone. Take as many pictures as you like.
And it's all free.
Yes.
Well, how do they find out about us?
Go to our Facebook page, Santa Central Wisconsin.
And they can book a time to come see us?
Yes, definitely. And pets, too.
Think the cookies are really good.
Now, we only have so many cookies and you can't eat them all.
Too late.
Mr. Jingle.
I'll have to make some more then.
Our head elf, we need to retire him.
I'm already retired.
Oh, okay. Make sure you come check with us, set up a time, and come and see us.
We're ready. Santa Central Wisconsin.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Huntworth Gear is performance camel wear at a price you can afford. Huntworthgear.com is their website. You can also find it at Blaine's Farm and Fleet stores and other stores around the upper Midwest. And joining me now from Brainerd, Minnesota, is a Huntworth Pro staffer, Bernie Berenger, and he's a regular guest on our show. His YouTube channel is Bow Hunting Road, and he's got two websites you should check out, berniesbearcamp.com and blackbearshow.com, and we'll talk about those things in just a second. Well, Bernie, thanks for joining us again, and welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Always good to talk to you. We talked about your bear season, which was very successful this year, but that's typical, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. Everybody that's hunted with me has had a chance to shoot a bear.
Well, that's something that not every outfitter can say. How was your deer season now? You hunt both Minnesota and Wisconsin, don't you?
Yes, and I've been able to put a little doe meat in the freezer here in Minnesota, and I've been holding out for a 10-point buck that just walked by my stand 2 days ago when I wasn't in it.
Oh.
And but I went to Wisconsin bow hunting in early November, and the first night I had a pretty nice 8-point buck right in front of me, and I looked at him for quite a while and then decided to pass him because I just hated to end my hunt on the first night, and then I ended up coming home without a deer. But that's okay because I've shot a lot of those 3-year-old 120 to 130 inch 8-pointers over the years, and I guess I just don't need any more of them. I wanted the experience more than I wanted the rack, I guess, and the meat.
You know, that is something I think some young hunters understand, but a lot of hunters of our generation certainly understand. Time in the woods, time in the stand, and an opportunity to see more deer or to see other wildlife, that is as much a part of the hunt as killing a deer. And it's not this get-or-done impulse that so many hunters have.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, if you shoot a deer right away, you miss out on a lot. Like the third night, I had a bobcat chasing a squirrel around my stand,
wow.
You know, and I thought, you know, if I had shot that buck and went home, I'd have missed that, too.
Yeah, that's cool. So you went home without a Wisconsin deer, but you had some meat in the freezer, and you're in good shape.
I'm in good shape for the winter, yeah, and I still have a bow tag for here in Minnesota that's good until the 31st of December, so I might still go get one more.
Well, and you can come back over here and shoot one, you know.
Yeah, I still have that Wisconsin tag in my pocket.
If you had to choose between bear hunting and deer hunting, would it be an easy choice for you?
Not really. It wouldn't be an easy choice. I love them both, but I'm pretty addicted to bear hunting, that's for sure.
And you outfit and guide hunters, and before we started recording, you told me that you're already booked up for next year and the year after?
Yeah, I'm booked for 2025, 2026, and about half full for 2027 right now.
So is there any chance that somebody could hunt with you in the next 3 years?
There is a chance, I suppose. You know, I might have a cancellation, or sometimes somebody just won't draw, and I have to move them to the next year. It takes 4 to 5 years of applying to draw in the zone that I guide in. And every so often we have a person that doesn't draw that we expect to.
Do you bear hunt over here in Wisconsin?
I don't. I have 9 points in Wisconsin, though, so it won't be long.
Okay, and that would be for your own hunt, right?
Right. I'll just do a public land, do-it-yourself hunt there. Probably in 2 years.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, speaking of bears, you have the Black Bear Show coming up in July of next year. And tell us about that. We've talked about it already once, but for people who didn't hear about it, tell us about it.
Well, it's the first sports show that's dedicated entirely to black bear hunting. I don't think it's ever been done before, at least I'm not aware of it. And what I did Dyer Fairgrounds in Barnum, Minnesota, which is up south of Duluth. It's an easy drive for anybody in the UP or the northern third of Wisconsin, or, you know, basically the bear habitat in Wisconsin and then Minnesota.
Sure.
And it's just going to be something that people can come to, bring their families, camp for the weekend if they want. I'm going to have seminars and some well-known bear hunters there, and 36 of the booths are already reserved, so I got outfitters and guides and all kinds of people coming. It'll be really fun, and it's just all about bear hunting.
And that is at blackbearshow.com, where people can learn about it and get tickets, I suppose, right?
Yeah, your tickets aren't available on there yet, but they will be, and there will also be tickets at the door. It only costs $10 per person to get in, and 12 and under are free. You know, it's in the pretty early stages yet, but there's a lot of information on the website about the location and timing and stuff like that. Last weekend in July in 2025.
Okay, so a little over a month before the fall bear hunting season starts.
Yeah, it'll be at a time when everybody's thinking about getting out there, and some people are already baiting in Minnesota. It'll be a couple of weeks before the guys start baiting. And we got bear bait suppliers and bear sprays, and yeah, we got a guy that's bringing a semi-load of bear bait. It should be pretty cool. It'll be a new experience. If anybody's interested in bear hunting, they're going to love it.
Oh, that sounds like an exciting show. And here in Wisconsin, of course, we can hunt with hounds. Can you in Minnesota?
You cannot in Minnesota, but we do have some hound hunting things that are going to be at the show, including a couple of seminars. And I've got one building that is going to be reserved for hound hunting dealers, including everything from collars and GPS and dog food and stuff like that. And that building is not full yet. We're just kind of getting started on booking those booths.
I imagine there'll be some dogs there, too.
There will be some dogs, I'm sure, yeah. People will be selling dogs. And it'll be quite an atmosphere. It'll be a rendezvous-type atmosphere, I think.
Uh-huh. Well, it's probably a good idea to put the hounds in a separate building because they might get a little noisy.
Well, I found out early on when I reserved this fairgrounds at the main dealer building, there's a concession stand in there where we're going to be serving barbecue and stuff like that. Oh. And they said you can't have pets in there at all. I found that out right away.
Uh-huh. Okay. On the subject of bears, last time we talked, you told me about one of your clients who makes a variety of things out of bear fat.
He's hunted with me before, and when he came back this year, he brought a whole selection of stuff that was really neat. Boot waterproofing. He brought some beard oil that's made out of bear grease.
Really?
Some soaps.
Mm-hmm.
He brought a whole selection of things, and of course, a lot of people cook with bear grease.
Yes.
And that's pretty neat. So I found over the years that more and more people are keeping the fat and rendering it into bear grease than they ever did before. Years ago, people didn't even bother with it, but now most people are taking some of the fat at least home with them.
Beard oil. Now, how does that work?
I haven't tried it, so I can't think, but I think it's supposed to make your beard look nice and shiny.
Uh-huh. I would think it would make it shiny, but it might smell a little, too. I don't know.
Well, it actually smells kind of like almost a little bit like a men's cologne. He's added something to it. It's pretty neat. The soap is really good. I love the soap.
Yeah. My wife used to make soap out of a variety of different tallows and fats, so I can believe that. And of course, the mountain men, we've talked about this before, 200 years ago, that's all they had. They did everything with bear grease.
Right.
Before we let you go, let's talk about Huntworth gear a little bit. We had some pretty cold weather after the opening weekend of gun deer season. Actually, our opener was kind of cool, too. I've been wearing that Huntworth Heat Boost bib as my bottom layer all season, really, and with just one light merino long john bottoms underneath that, I've been fine. Have you found that to be the case?
I'm really surprised how that stuff keeps you warm. It's a completely different technology than just insulating your body. It actually reflects the body heat back to you, and that's how the graphene works. And I've got a couple of coats, a lightweight and then a heavyweight coat. form it is. I've never had anything quite like it that works as well. So it's a new technology. It's graphene is what it's called. You can do a search online and learn how it works. Huntworth is the first one that put this in hunting clothing, and I don't think they're going to be the last because it's really surprisingly warm.
Yes, it certainly is. I wore that as my bib layer. I don't think they've got it in orange yet, or at least I haven't seen it. I wore their orange hunting coat over the top, and I was plenty comfortable. One day, I actually stayed in my stand 9.5 hours. I don't think I ever left. Yeah. That was the day I saw a few does, and we weren't shooting does up at our place this year. But I was able to tough it out because of that gear.
Yeah, I absolutely believe it, and I've been using it more and more. You don't have to wear hardly anything under it. You know, we used to talk about layering, and you put merino wool, and then you wear a wool shirt or maybe a hoodie or something like that. What I found with the heat boost is the less you have under it, to a point, you know, the better it works, because it actually is reflecting your body heat right back into your body. So you pretty much have to try it to really appreciate just how well it works.
Yeah. And I think that concept of less is more is what works here, because maybe it traps more air if you don't have other things in the way between your body and that graphene layer. But whatever it is, the stuff is great, and I love it. So I'm going to keep wearing it. Bernie, we're going to let you go, but thank you so much for spending time with us again. I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas.
Well, you too, and also to all of your listeners.
Well, thank you, Bernie. Folks, that was Bernie Barringer. He's got two websites you ought to check out. Bernie'sBearCamp.com if you want to go bear hunting sometime in the next half a dozen years. You better sign up now, and for a Minnesota hunt. And if you're interested in bears at all, don't miss the Black Bear Expo, which is coming to Barnum, Minnesota, the Carlton County Fairgrounds in July. And the website for that is blackbearshow.com. And you can learn about Huntworth gear and the heat boost technology we've been talking about on their website, huntworthgear.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to 3 waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle falls, and Washburn falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
The Wisconsin Ice Fishing Expo has moved to the EAA grounds in Oshkosh December 13th through the 15th. Nearly twice the size as last year, with super convenient parking with free shuttles. Deals on shacks, lures, gear, electronics, expert seminars from Larry Smith, Tom Boley, and many others. Trout Pond and Ice Junkies Kids Zone. Food trucks, free giveaways, and visit Santa on Sunday. Kids 12 and under free. Go to icefishexpo.com for info. Sponsored by Wisconsin Outdoor News, Ion Eskimo Ice Team, Acme, and Thorn Brothers.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
on the web at cedarlakesale.com. They have new and used boats, pontoons, lifts in stock, big deals on 2024 models as well, including Dan's 1750 Fishhawk. They have winterizing supplies in stock, or you can drop off your boat. Let them do it for you. We are also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camel wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com, and by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Boston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, PROF, greencare.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you happen to live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And if you missed my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, you can watch that on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
And this radio show is online all the time. You can go to lake-link.com, go to the Outdoor Radio page and download it there, or you can go to outdoornews.com/podcast and download it there as well. Dan is on social media at Dan Small Outdoors. Find me at Jeff.
Well, coming up, in fact, it starts this weekend, the Audubon Christmas Bird Count, which happens all across the country and maybe internationally, I'm not sure. Some 30,000 people will be out counting birds. If you want to get into that, just do an online search for Christmas Bird Count, and you'll find out how you can do it locally, and you can do it right in your own backyard. You don't have to go anywhere, really. And Wisconsin's Winter Free Fishing Weekend is coming up. That's January 18th and 19th, so you've got a little time to plan. But we're telling you now because clubs and organizations are invited to plan fishing clinics for that weekend. And the DNR will help you organize and promote your clinic. So visit the DNR website. Just type in the keywords Free Fishing Weekend for details. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music and a schedule of his events, visit warrennelson.com. Well, Jeff, good luck this weekend if you and Robert get out.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
And folks, I am Dan Small, obviously, here with Jeff Kelm. Good luck to anyone hunting the statewide 4-day antlerless hunt. Get outside this weekend, and if you do, wear Blaze Orange. And be sure to join us again next time for Outdoors Radio.
When the cool night swallows the moose's nose, and the heron is fishing on one cold leg, when the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Wisconsin Women's Basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
This. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. People want answers. What's up with the drones? CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
Since last month, more than 3,000 sightings have been reported across at least six East Coast states. Some of those sightings by law enforcement and elected officials. New Jersey Senator Andy Kim took video and is part of a swell of local leaders demanding answers from the federal government.
I'm just not getting the kind of communication and engagement when it comes to the investigation that's happening by the FBI, Homeland Security.
In New Jersey, unexplained drone activity was reported above a naval weapons station, and the FAA ordered temporary flight restrictions prohibiting drones over an armament research facility and Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster.
Secretary of State Blinken is in Jordan to discuss a peaceful transition of power in Syria. He pledged,
"Work together to support a Syrian-led transition where the United Nations plays a critical role, particularly when it comes to the provision of assistance."